just have to get this off my chest on The News According to Me. Well, I'm back. Show number two for the day. And the earlier show was live on Rumble. You missed it. You missed the whole thing. I don't know how the beginning turned out. I'm not sure whether or not I was actually on video at the beginning of the thing. I don't think I was. I'm not positive. I haven't even looked at the video. I don't know. And I don't care. It doesn't matter. I do have a cup somewhere. I don't know what I did with it. I think I might have to look for the time. Where did I put it? Is it over there? I don't know. I need an engineer. I need assistance here at this studio. I'm at the main studio here at the headquarters, the News According to Me headquarters right now. International worldwide headquarters for the News According to Me this morning. This afternoon. I guess it's this afternoon now. Yeah. So I'm a little bit I have some stuff in my cup here. Talk about that. Well, I've got sweet tea. I've got sweet tea today. And I'm a little bit ticked off because I started doing this show. Actually, this is the second time I've tried it because for some reason my software deleted a bunch of stuff. I clicked on something to do something else, and all of a sudden it started doing something that I did not ask for. And I don't know what it was that it did, but whatever it did, it ended up destroying whatever I had, what I had recorded earlier, which is very frustrating. But that's not your problem, and I shouldn't bother you with that, even though I am. I'm bothering you with it anyway. So there's a couple things that happened yesterday during the presser, and it's what really aggravates me is that I've already kind of spouted off, and I've kind of talked myself through these things, which is. It's hard to do over again, to have the same kind of balance within it and the kind of fervor and passion that you had the first time that you go through this kind of thing. It's something that I don't have notes here in front of me. I just have a few thoughts in my head, and I just expand on them. Maybe that's painfully obvious to those of you who listen to this program. I don't know. Maybe it's not. But... I should say those of you who try to listen to this program. Maybe that's the way I should put it. I have a couple things that have gone on. One is this whole presser thing yesterday with Biden. And we talked about the border a little bit. And I like I've said, there's a lot of things that the news media has a tendency to control the narrative. The spin, not just the spin, but the narrative itself, the actual stories, the political football that they're tossing around at the moment. And things drop out of mind for us because they don't really tell us. Even the best of news programs, they don't tell you what to think necessarily. Now, there are some who do. CNN and MSNBC, they're telling you what to think. They're telling you, they're even giving you information that is, I would say 90% false half the time. It totally has a spin to whatever they want to talk about. And they're trying to keep the narrative alive. I even saw a headline yesterday that on MSNBC that they were talking about how this is exactly what happened in Watergate. And they were talking, they had a picture of Donald Trump there. Now, I don't know if you understand this or not. The whole thing that happened during Watergate, Nixon was still president at the time. They are going after, if you've never seen people go after, if you remember back to all the things that the Democrats said after the 2016 election, and how Trump was talking about going after Hillary Clinton after that, with all the crimes that she committed, which she did commit crimes. She actually did commit crimes. We're now finding out that there's a little buried story now behind all this stuff that just popped up again because the same guy is now being indicted on something else, who happened to be involved in the Mueller investigation because he was tied to the Clinton Foundation and giving Hillary Clinton money for her campaign. Who was involved in the Mueller, a big shot, involved in the Mueller investigation into Trump. You're not hearing that on the news because they're controlling the stories. They'll put one little story out about something like that, or a little blurb somewhere, not on MSNBC or CNN, don't get me wrong. And it just there's no traction, it doesn't go anywhere, and yet it's like, because they don't put it out on any place else, it just kind of goes away. And that's they know how to control it. They're masters at this. So they control this narrative, the political football of the day. So now whether it's the spin that they want to put on the positive side of Joe, which they're not doing so well with that anymore. They realize this guy's not, this guy could be a political, let's just say he's not a political asset. He's a political problem for them. Because he's not very popular. Even though I keep telling you how popular he is and how wonderful he is, they're finding out that people are not really going along with that story too very well. Now, I don't know. It's just me. Now, I know that polls have a tendency to lag behind, usually a couple of weeks. I think that this presser that Joe did yesterday will actually bump him up in the polls. You watch. I think in the next week, his approval rating will go up. The Democrats will celebrate that his approval rating has gone up 10%, down from, zero. This is the same thing they do with the unemployment rate. Oh, we've created 2 million jobs. We told everybody to quit. We told 12 million people to quit their jobs. Actually, more than that. It was like 20 million people that they told to quit their jobs. The jobs went away in 2020. We created 2 million jobs this month, which they didn't. I'm just saying, if they come out and say that, that's great. When you told, 20 million people to shut down and you brought 2 million back and you expect applause from us because of that. Now, they talk about the unemployment rate, which is also a fallacy in the way they calculate that. Now, it's so confusing now in the way they calculate it. It's not at all where it was. The problem is we still have fewer people working today than we did at the beginning of 2020. And we have more jobs available than workers to fill them. So how can you tell me? It's just the calculations that they make and the statements that they make on this stuff. It's absolutely ridiculous. And it's causing this escalade, I'm not sure that's the right, it's probably not an escalade. it's causing this avalanche of issues that are continuing to drop out of the sky. So it's just, we're in for some tough times, folks. I don't know how else to put this. Inflation, they're saying now, is going to carry through to 2023, through 2023, for the next year and a half, because of things that are being put in place right now. It's not going away. Now, think about this. And this is where some common folk out there, I don't know, some people don't understand what this inflation thing is about. Inflation only helps the rich. Those who have wealth and have their money invested in wealth. Because it makes what they have worth more, supposedly, theoretically. If you just have your money that you're making, you're set on a fixed diet. I always crack up with these people who are retired and they always say, I'm on a fixed income. Yeah, everybody's on a fixed income. Everybody has a paycheck. Granted, you can get a raise. They do give you a raise, by the way, when you're on Social Security. And your retirement fund can also be increased, depending on how you manage it. I'm on a fixed income. Everybody's on a fixed income that works for an hourly wage, or for a salary, for that matter. So I don't really understand what that's about. I don't get that. I went to Denny's the other day, by the way. Yesterday morning for breakfast, I went to Denny's. And I saw the 55 plus menu. And it kind of dawned on me that I qualify for that. So I got something off the 55 plus menu. Now, I don't know that they probably would have allowed me to just, even if I wasn't 55. But what was kind of interesting was when I ordered it, they didn't question it at all. Which tells me that, obviously, I look the part, apparently. So I guess that's, something to behold, something to think about, something to ponder, something to toss around in my head for a while. Well, I have this issue, though, with Joe. So, as we have listened to him talk about all this stuff with the election, now we were told, you know, when Trump was asked about the integrity of the elections, he was especially asked, I think, about 2016 election. We were told by the left, oh, there's nothing, you can't discount the election. There's no way that even Obama came out and said, there's no way they can hack our elections. Elections can't be hacked. Because they knew that they thought Trump was going to lose, and they thought when Trump lost, he was going to whine and cry foul and say that the elections were rigged. So what happened there? Let's just go back a little bit, just a few years in history. And let's think about what happened there. We were told, oh, no, there's no way the elections can be hacked. Oh, no, this can't happen. No. The elections have all kinds of integrity, all kinds of things built into it. Don't worry, there's no problem with the elections. The elections happened. They lost. Oh, my goodness, we were hacked by the Russians. We were hacked by this and that. This is just all these things that happened. Trump was in cahoots with the Russians to hack the elections. The elections, he's an illegitimate president. He's not my president. He was elected. He's not elected. The Russians put him in place. He's a Russian asset. He's just a puppet from Russia. Putin controls him. We heard that for a couple weeks after the election. Oh no, we heard it for a few years after the election. We're still hearing it, by the way. Adam Schiff is still holding to that story. After a full investigation and 4 years of people treading out everything that they could about this guy, when he was impeached, it wasn't even about that. It's over a phone call, what he said. That wasn't even what they actually impeached him on, the wording, and it had nothing to do with the phone call. To protect the Constitution. Then January 6th happens and their heads are still exploding. They are still so terrified of this guy coming back. That they are still going after him, trying to keep him from being able to run for president again. Now I would ask you, if you are on the left, let me just ask you this. Simple question. Are things so much better today with Trump out of office? I know some of you freaks out there are going to say yes to that question. Because you, for some reason, Trump was in your head and he just got to you and you think he's the biggest problem to our nation. You can't give me a reason why. Well, he's a racist. You think he's a racist because of what you hear the news media say about what he said. You haven't heard what he said. Well, there were good people, and there were fine people on both sides. If you're one of those people who says that, then you didn't listen to his speech. You listened to what they said about his speech. Well, he told us to drink bleach. If you think that, you didn't listen to what he said. He never even used the word bleach in what he said. It was a commentator after the fact that they blew up and called it. That's what he said. He never said to drink bleach. And yet, you ask most Democrats today, over half of them will tell you that's what he said. I would say closer to 80% of them will probably tell you that's what he said. This is the world in which we live, and this is the media and their spin and how good they are at it. To create a narrative, create the spin. When I say narrative, I'm just talking about they control what the subject matter is of the day. When I talk about spin, I'm talking about how they use that subject matter and spin it into their agenda. And they are masters at this. They have teams of people working on this day and night to try to convince you, the American people, that this is the way it is. The trusted news media is telling you this, so we're here to tell you what you need to think about. Right now, there's a mess on the border, and we're not talking about it. Right now, the only thing in the media right now, today, the last couple of days, there's a few people talking about the border, but it's one of those things where they get blue in the face talking about it. And nobody, you know, there's just a few people out there that are willing to continue to mention it in terms of news media. Like One American News, Newsmax, Epic Times, some of those places that are talking about that kind of stuff. But they don't want that in the media right now. They don't need that. Ukraine right now is a big issue, folks. And what happened yesterday has people stumbling over themselves trying to explain what's going on in Ukraine. Now, this is where I have a problem, and this is where I think that they play on those individuals who do not think. Because here's what happens. Yesterday, this is a prime example. I'm gonna try to play this out as best I can. I know that it's difficult to kind of lay this out in a way that without charts and graphs that you can clearly understand the thoughts I'm trying to convey to you. It's not that you can't understand them. I'm not saying that. It's my ability to communicate them to you is where I'm probably struggling with how to communicate these things. And please listen, hear me out on this. Right now, Putin would like to invade Ukraine. As far as we know, that's what we're being told, and it seems to be the case. Now, they had a major military exercise along the Ukrainian border, and they were there, and then they had like 100,000 troops there or something, some ridiculous number, I think 60,000 or whatever they had. Now, supposedly they are massing, they have a number of about 100,000 troops there. Now, the number of troops that Ukraine has is less than the Iraqi army had. Now, we were told, of course, by Joe Biden 2 weeks before Afghanistan fell, emphatically, without any, I mean, there was no question. The Afghanistan army is 300,000 strong, and they're not going to budge. They're well-trained, the most well-trained armies in the world. Best equipped, well-trained army. 300,000 strong. Fell in 2 weeks. There you go. Thanks, Joe. This is why when Joe starts to say something, I usually think, okay, the opposite must be true. So if he's saying something, it's probably, well, the opposite must be true. Now, he did say before winter started, he said, this is going to be a dark, dark winter with COVID. For those of you who are not vaccinated. For everybody else, it's fine. If you've been vaccinated, no problem. But if everybody else is, for those who have not been vaccinated, it's going to be a very dark winter for you. He's always so full of hope. And it turns out, you know, that everybody that's been vaccinated is getting COVID. But let's not talk about that. So we have this ongoing thing here with Ukraine. Now, he came out and basically, I didn't catch all the little innuendo that he said. But I do know that if I would have been Putin and heard what he said, just listening to him, what he said, trying to put myself in his shoes, I would have thought, well, he's not really going to do anything. First of all, here's what you have to sit back and realize. Well, he's not going to invade, and if he does, he's probably going to invade. But if he does, Well, I'm pretty sure he's going to invade. But if he does, there's going to be consequences. Consequences. Now, he's talking trade sanctions and stuff like that. He's not talking, like a bomb's going to fall on his head. He's talking about sanctions, diplomatic stuff. Okay, let me get this straight. Someone marches into another country, guns blazing, and our response is paperwork. Now, if you don't think this is Putin is not an idiot. This guy is a very smart individual. I would venture to say he's a little bit smarter than Joe Biden. I'm going to go out on a limb with that one, but that's what I'm just going to suggest that he's possibly smarter and a little bit more inept. Is that the right word? No, Joe is more inept. Okay, there you go. A little bit more nept, not inept, but nept. He's a little bit more cognizant of what's going on around him than Joe Biden is. And if you don't think that Putin knows what these consequences are, then I don't know what to tell you. I don't know how much more. If you think, I'm just going to try it and see what those consequences are. No, Putin knows exactly what, when Joe Biden's talking about consequences, he knows exactly what's going to happen. So he's weighing out his options. If I do this, they're going to do that. He knows what cards we're holding. He knows what our options are in terms of diplomatic responses. He can very easily weigh out whether or not that part of the chess game makes any sense at all. He will do whatever he can do if it makes sense to do it, because of he's willing to take that hit, whatever that hit is. And for us to sit back and think, he did it. Now we're really going to smack him with these sanctions. He didn't see that one coming. Well, yes, he did see it coming. And he's not going to be surprised when it does happen, if it even does happen. This is where they know that most of the people in the country really don't care too much about what's going on in Ukraine. It's halfway around the world. It's not something that affects their everyday life, except the problem with this is going to be that it is going to affect their everyday life. People don't realize that there are certain triggers that will be put in place that will cause our markets and our economy to continue to... We're in a very, very fragile place right now, folks. Now, I'm not an economist. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a life coach. I'm not a financial advisor. I'm not an epidemiologist. I can't even spell it. Barely pronounce it. But I do have a microphone, and I have some opinions about some things. And if what you do with those opinions is your own business. So I'm just going to share my opinions and leave it up to, you to decide what to hear and what to not hear. You can agree or disagree. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. That's my disclaimer. The problem here is that we are left with this attitude of, I don't think that most of the nation here wants to get involved in another war. Now, supposedly, during the Trump administration, we were told that the stock market was going to crash, that we would be in a nuclear war, in all kinds of conventional wars, but we would definitely be in a nuclear war. And what else would they tell us? Oh, just all kinds of things. That it was just that, Trump was never going to allow another election. He was a dictator. He's going to cancel the elections. He's going to take over for the rest of his... He's going to be the president for the rest of our life. He's going to be the last president ever. And then on January 6th, of course, there was the insurrection. The attack on our democracy. that these guys who were breaking in were going to somehow take over the nation. That wasn't even their intent. And in fact, I'm listening to some of the information now about what's being said about the Oath Keepers. It doesn't make sense to me. It makes no sense whatsoever. What the FBI, the case that the FBI is pulling on this thing is, it smacks of a setup, and I don't know how else to put it. So we have all this stuff going on, and it would seem that the left now is telling us that they're going to smack down Biden if he tries to invade Ukraine. Seriously, are we going to send troops in? Is this going to be a NATO thing? Now, we do have a treaty with them. We have told that we made them a promise that we would protect them in this kind of a scenario. Obama sent them blankets and MREs when they needed weapons to protect themselves. And my understanding is right now, I believe that there are some other NATO nations that are actually sending supplies and sending military in. Trump did send military aid. Now, they claim he held it up. He did not hold it up at all. It was delivered within the time frame it was supposed to be delivered in. He did have some questions about the investigation and what happened between Hunter Biden and the Ukrainian mafia over there, basically. Organized crime unit over there. So they've got all this stuff going on. Well, now here's the interesting thing that has happened now is there's actually a reporter that asked Joe, okay, so since this legislation is not being put in place for the Voting Rights Act, the Joe Lewis Act or whatever it's called, I don't know what it's called, even whatever it's called. It's the Voting Rights Act that they're trying to get pushed through. They got a name for it. Of course, they always like to tag somebody's name on it that has a, that way they can make it sound like it's specially for certain people. So according to Carmella, she says that 50 million people will be disenfranchised from being able to vote because of these laws that these states are putting in place, and they have to combat these laws that these states are putting in place. Now, think about this. And Bongino made a really good point today. If they could have gotten rid of the filibuster, they would have. If it wouldn't be for two senators, they would have gotten rid of this. We are that close, two people away from a House that has 100 in it and one person who can flip the majority. They would have taken the filibuster away. This is something they fought against not so long ago. In fact, I believe it was Tom Cotton, got up and one of the folks in the House got up and talked about, he gave a speech, a very impassioned speech about how important the filibuster was and how it shouldn't, it's an attack on our democracy and it's an attack on our system. Every word he said was a quote from Schumer and other Democrats that spoke out against getting rid of the filibuster. Every word in the speech. He used their own words against them, and yet they just ignored. Because now they got to get rid of the filibuster because this isn't so important. The stupid thing about this is that they don't seem to realize here's the problem. They realize if they don't get this legislation passed, now Joe already actually said, since this has gone through, he actually has said today, he said, we will work, and I said this yesterday when I talked about how, okay, when this doesn't go through, they're going to piecemeal all this stuff. The Voting Rights Act, the Build Back Better bill, all the stuff that they want, all that pork that they wanted in it, that is going to be piecemealed throughout all the legislation that they're going to be passing throughout the rest of this year. They are going to try to, and that's exactly what he said. You say, we'll keep working on it. We'll get bits and pieces of this thing through. We'll keep working on it. That's exactly what they are going to do. They're going to take off chunks of everything. They're going to divide it all up. And it's much easier for them to get it all done in one fell swoop, but they don't have to do that. They can just work on all this stuff one little bit at a time, and that is exactly what they will do. They will insert parts of this stuff in popular bills that they can get through the House and the Senate, just little parts that are swallowable, and before you know it, you've eaten the entire elephant. You know how to eat an elephant? One bite at a time. And that's what they're going to do. They're going to feed us the elephant one bite at a time. And we will not notice that we've not only eaten the elephant, but we've also eaten his intestines and everything that goes in him. The question was asked of Joe then, so are you saying that if this bill doesn't pass, that the 2022 elections will not be, that the integrity of the 2022 elections will be at risk? Do you think that it'll be legitimate? He goes, well, that depends. I know what he wanted to say at that moment. That depends. If we lose, they're not. If we win, then they are. If they lose, they're not legitimate. If they win, they are legitimate. That's what it's based on. That's all that matters. How do we know that they think that? Look at 2016 and look at 2020. There was no questioning 2020. No questioning, and if you do, you were censored, you were deplatformed, you were an insurrectionist. It was the most perfect election ever, even though laws were broken. State laws were broken in several key states. They have no problem with that. Well, it was a pandemic. They were okay with it. But it's the most perfect election that we've ever had. And the highest voter turnout we've ever had, ever. Isn't that unusual? Isn't that strange? They didn't think there was going to be that high of a turnout because of the pandemic. And then it turns out to be the greatest turnout ever. With Joe getting more votes than anybody ever in the world. Gee, how'd that happen? Must have been because it was so full of integrity. I'm just putting it out there. And it wasn't exactly a landslide defeat because Trump got more votes than any other Republican candidate has ever gotten in the world as well, too, in the country, in the nation's history. We just had the highest turnout. Highest turnout of people voting early, of drop boxes being filled, of ballots being rerun and rerun over and over. But it was the most legitimate election ever. And of course, that's all going to go down the tubes if they don't get this bill passed, because states have now passed laws against what happened in 2020. And we're going to keep people from voting. Really? Who's not? Tell me exactly who is going to be not going to be able to vote because they're asking for IDs. They are against election integrity. They are not against elections being fair and free. They're against election integrity, period. And when this becomes a landslide Republican victory, they are going to blame these laws. They're going to say that it was an illegitimate election because of the problem that the GOP did, what these states did. Illegitimized our election procedures, our election process. It's a threat to our Constitution, to our government, to our democracy. They're, folks, these people are insane. They have lost it. They are so drunk with power and have such a lust for more power. They cannot see straight in front of them. I am... I'm amazed. I'm just amazed and perplexed, I guess, that there is so much ignorance on the part of these people, not understanding, and just, well, I have to say, our school system, I realize, has, public school system has become, what's the word? It has dumbed down our society. We're in a serious predicament here. Now, when Carmella was asked, I think today or yesterday, whenever it was, she was, I think it might have been this morning, some kind of morning show this morning. We're talking about how, you know, was Joe suggesting that the election would not be legitimate if this bill didn't pass? This bill didn't pass, and is he saying that it's not going to be legitimate?
No, what he's saying is that because they don't, she talks through her nose. I don't know if anybody notices this or not, but she is extremely condescending when she talks, when she speaks, and she doesn't really know what she's saying. She repeats herself a lot, which means she's trying to fill in words. She can't keep a point straight in her head. And then she goes on with stuff that doesn't make any sense. That today is every day, is every time we do this, is now is the day today to do this. Because some countries don't have maps, they need maps because they don't know what's going on, so then they need maps. if you catch my dig there at the Miss America contest and the lady who, was a beauty queen thing, that didn't know what she was talking about. So anyway, this is what we've got going on now. So she went on to this whole thing about how that these states have passed laws now that so you're saying they're not going to be legitimate. That's what you're saying. You're saying this, it's not going to be legitimate. And I think this is what they really had planned on. They had planned on getting this done so that they could win or keep the Republicans from getting the House and the Senate in 2022. They know they're in trouble. They needed this. Because they needed the drop boxes. They needed the mail-in ballots. They were going to make an all-out effort to keep the Republicans from taking office because their reign is just about over. Now, I'm not at all confident that the GOP, that the establishment Republicans, are going to do a good job of keeping the House and the Senate for very long. They have a tendency to mess it up. And now let me just reiterate something that Dan Bongino said today. We were a hair's width away from losing the filibuster and from losing voting rights and voter integrity in this nation, as well as a huge budget deficit disorder that we're going to end up with here with the Build Back Better bill. Now, having said that, when the Republicans get into office, they should turn around and say, well, you know, there are 48 senators on your side that want to get rid of the filibuster. So we're going to go ahead and get rid of the filibuster for you because you guys wanted to do it so bad. You know, we've changed our mind. You know, I think you were right. We're going to get rid of that filibuster, and now we're just going to take over. They won't want that at all. You'll hear them scream and cry and whine about that. Oh, no, we have to have the filibuster. Well, 2 weeks ago, seems like, it was just the other day, you were saying that we had to get rid of the filibuster to save the nation. But now, all of a sudden, you don't like it so much. We're going to take that away. I think we just need to play hardball with them. Let's get rid of it, take over, and be done with it. The problem with that is, if they got that kind of power and control, they would never lose it. They would constantly pass bills and laws that would shut out the Republicans for the rest of their of our nation's history. It would be a one-party system from now on. You might see that what would happen is that the Republican Party would go away, and you would see a Democrat Party split. So we would have leftists, we'd have the socialists, Democratic socialists, and probably just the regular Democrats. Republicans would become the regular Democrats. There would still be a right and a left. It would just be a sidestepped radical thing to the left. The whole nation would shift left at that point in terms of the way we do our politics. That's how close we are right now to losing the entire idea of our founding fathers in this nation, the idea of personal individual liberty and the protection of those liberties by a state or by a government that is for and by the people, which is people representative, not politicians who are professional politicians who think that they are the government. They are not the government. They represent us. Period. And I think that that we tend to forget that because we're not taught that in school anymore. We're not taught about our responsibilities. That we just abdicate to these people that we, you know, I get to have an election every 2 years or maybe once every 4 years. That I, you know, some people don't even vote that often. A lot of people, most people, miss the midterms or any other elections, special elections that come up. It's unbelievable. We have a responsibility, folks, in this nation to do our part, to get our representatives, to hold them accountable. And they have a tendency to just forget that. Forget us. We don't need you. Once we get elected, doesn't matter what we said on the campaign trail, now we have the power. And you will comply. We don't care about your rights. We talk about your responsibility to society, to the greater society, the greater good of the society. I'm hearing that a lot. The last couple of days, I've been hearing that a lot. We have to keep in mind the greater good to society. You don't care about society itself, and you need to sacrifice for the good of society. Now, sacrifice your liberty. Sacrifice your individual rights, and comply for the sake of society. Because that's the benevolent thing to do. Okay, whatever. That's where we are right now. We are extremely close. Extremely close. To losing the foundation of our nation. And while the left is crying out about how the Republicans are trying to steal our country away. Got news for you, folks. Whenever they're talking about, this 90% of the time, when they're accusing someone else of doing something, they're the ones doing it, or they're the ones that want to do it, or they're the ones who have done it. That's why the idea is in their head to begin with. Yeah. I digress. I've just been looking at a few headlines here while I've been talking. And I see this one. It's breaking news from the Epic Times. There's a photo of a teacher taping a mask to a student's face. A photo of a teacher taping a mask to a student's face. And you don't think I'm right when I say these people are insane. It has gotten to the point of insanity, folks. That is absolutely insane. This is hysteria like I've never seen in this country before. When Dr. Malone was talking about mass formation psychosis. He's not just talking off the top of his head here. He's citing a study, some research information here. And it's absolutely spot on what he's saying. I don't think we can ignore this kind of stuff anymore. How the hysteria has just gotten out of control. I don't know how else to put it. It is just absolutely insane. There are countries that are doing things to the non-compliant that are terrifying. And there are people who are going along with it as if it is something that's absolutely acceptable. It's unbelievable. Well, I mean, it is believable if you understand the left. But it's extremely shocking to see it unfolding before our eyes. This is stuff of biblical proportion right now. And I would invite you, if you're listening to this, and you don't know, and I talk a lot about it, you could say there's a lot of negative stuff that I'm speaking of. And the only way that I can speak about this stuff and not be shaken to the core of my being to the point where I panic and have anxiety attacks, which I do not have, by the way, for a reason. There's a reason I do not have panic attacks and anxiety attacks with all this stuff going on. I believe it's because there is a rooting and a grounding in the one who created us and gave us the promise of seeing us through this thing. Now, does that mean we're going to live through? Here's the problem. People like to think that, well, we're going to overcome all this stuff that Scripture says is going to happen in the end days, end times, all the persecution that's going to happen, all the things that are going to happen, the tribulation that we're going to experience, that's going to be experienced here on the earth. For some reason, some people think that we're going to fight back against this. Now, we can fight back against it. We can resist as long as we can. I think we're supposed to resist evil. We're supposed to fight back against this stuff. At some point, there will come a time, and I think those days are very close. If you don't believe me, then you're not paying attention. I think the days are very close that we are going to see the scale will finally be tipped for the last time, and it's going to be done. It's going to be over. We are definitely seeing an attitude and a mentality among leadership in our world, the leaders of the world, if you want to call them that, that goes beyond anything that I would have ever thought possible. There's no biblical foundation to anything that they're thinking. It's just all about society and the greater good and this weird, phony morality that no one can be offended. We have to believe in the science. But if you have the wrong number of chromosomes and you think that you're a particular gender, even though you were born with one gender, and you think that you're another gender, well then, we'll just have to make you the other gender. We'll just have to accept the fact that you are not that gender. You're this gender. We have to pay for your operation to have you switched over. Because, you know, otherwise we're racist. For those of you who have been slaves during the prior to the emancipation, those of you who are listening to this podcast who have been slaves who prior to the Emancipation Proclamation, prior to the winning of the Civil War, I believe that you should have reparations, and every one of you. For those of you who have not been, you can get a job and work like everybody else. And I think you should have equal rights, equal opportunity. Just like everybody else. Pay your taxes. Just like everybody else. There was recently a guy that was talking about reparations out on the street asking questions. And he was asking white people what they thought about reparations and how much they should get. How much should black people get for reparations? Right? They wouldn't say, and then he suggested $500 a month. Well, at least that's a good start. And some people were saying $2,000 or $3,000 a month. Okay. Every single black person should get $3,000 a month. But there's no talk about how long this should last or who it should go to. This is just, should it go to people who just only can prove that their ancestors were slaves? And how are you going to do that with Kamala Harris, whose ancestors actually were slave owners? How does that work? This is just feel-goodism. Well, I'm all for that because we need to do something about it because that'll make me feel better about myself. That's not the way it works, folks. You're going to make people who are not responsible for what happened in the South from the Democrats who owned slaves who are not alive today. They're the ones who should pay the reparations. And the ones who should get the reparations are the ones who suffered through or the first descendants of those individuals. Not just random people who have moved here since then. We live in a crazy world. As I was saying, the reason that I have hope and the reason that I can talk about these things and not have anxiety attacks, I can sleep at night, I can be at peace, because there's one who promised me that I would have peace that goes beyond understanding. And in times like this, having peace is not understandable. It is crazy, wacky times we live in. There are people right now who can't stand to be on a Zoom call with someone who's not wearing a mask because it freaks them out to see someone without a mask on. That's the level of anxiety we were dealing with now. Is that normal? Is that healthy? Is that a healthy mental state? To not have the cognitive ability to understand that this person is on a TV screen, they cannot affect you without a mask on. They're not going to give your computer a virus. But they want you to wear a mask because it freaks them out to talk to someone without a mask on, even though they're 100 miles away from them on a television screen, on a computer screen. That is a mental problem. And yet we kowtow to it and we cater to it. There are people who, there are companies out there who are saying, please wear your mask, because some people are triggered by people who aren't wearing masks on a Zoom call. You know what? No, not going to do that. No, that hasn't happened in my line of work. I did work with somebody the other day who decided to wear a mask all the time. Okay, whatever. I guess you don't understand the whole concept of this whole thing, how this works. What a virus is, and now we're talking about N95 masks, and they're actually finally coming out and saying that cotton masks don't do any good. Cotton masks don't help anything. We got to get to have N95 masks. Now, apparently, with somebody in the background is saying, "Well, we're ready to start manufacturing some N95 masks now, so we better get the note out there that everybody has to wear these now, so that we can start manufacturing and making a bundle of money on these." Fear is a great motivator, and it's being used immensely against us, and I think that we need to be aware of that. And as I was saying, I would invite you, if you do not know the one who came to set us free from all this fear, that maybe you should check into that. Send me a message. I'll help guide you through that process. Or find somebody you trust. Somebody who's legitimate, not some wacko. Who understands issues of faith. Or just pick up the Bible and start reading it. That's probably the best place to start. Get on your knees. Or just talk to God. See what He says. God bless everybody. Have a great night.